Welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, mother of two. And whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and sex. The increasingly famous Todd Anderson is here with me today.
Hi.
Makes me happy, everybody. Yay!
I heard we might be talking about sex or something.
Yeah, that's always why you show up. Yeah. I thought it was because, you know, you're my friend, but...
Oh. No.
No. I'm just here for the sex talk. So, no, we actually get to talk about a variety of stuff today because I'm doing some follow-ups, you know?
Follow-ups?
Well, because, you know, we do the shows, we put them out there, and then... Every once in a while,
somebody goes,
I get
what?
An email. Somebody listens, and I get an email or a question.
I don't think people listened in general.
You know what? I don't know. I think I've got one listener out there, my friend Dan.
Hi, Dan.
To every episode.
Thanks for listening, Dan.
I mean, he listens to the ones that, like, don't even apply to him. So, yeah, he's a good
he's
pal.
He's a genuine fan of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably
and likes podcasts in general.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. He's a podcast guy.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So, we'll have to have him on. I'll just talk about whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do all follow-ups with him. What are all of your questions? Let's answer them now.
Let's answer
get really, really clear. Because,
Dan's question.
Because we care. But that'll be the whole thrust of the show. Mm. There, I said thrust. You happy?
I am very excited.
Okay, good.
That there's thrusting already.
So, I'm excited for you because you're the worst is just exploding, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very exciting. It's on FXX, and we're going to tell you that again at the end of the show because I'm so excited for my friend.
Yeah, and the first season's on Hulu now.
See, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's why you are the increasingly famous Todd Anderson.
Increasingly.
Yes. Pretty soon, infamous.
That's more than famous, right?
Yes.
Infamous.
It is.
It's infamous.
It is. And for some people, it's not as good a thing because you can be infamous for something not so much good. But,
oh, I don't know about that.
But not you.
No.
No.
That's impossible. I will be infamous for good things
You will be, actually, you'll be famous for You're the Worst and infamous for MILF Doc.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm hoping.
All right.
So, one of the shows that we did, I don't know if you remember this, but we did How to Talk to Your Kids About Pot.
I
don't even know if you were here, but
I wasn't here, but I listened to it.
But you listened to it. Aw.
Yeah, I listened to it too.
I got two listeners.
Yeah.
So I got the question, and I do hear this a lot. Do you think it's okay to actually smoke pot in front of your kids? And, you know, because it's increasingly legal, right? And
increasingly.
Again, that's my word for the day. And I recently read.
Although, if
Chris
Christie gets into office, he's going to put a kibosh on the pot. That's what he says.
You know that we're not allowed to talk politics on MILF Talk.
I'm just saying,
this is make your life fabulous, not make your life make you want to fucking crawl in a hole and die. Okay.
Just saying.
Let's not talk politics. So.
Well, pot is a very political thing.
I know. It is a political thing. And that's why the landscape is changing and how we have to talk to our kids, and it's increasingly available and everything like that. I just said the word again. And I recently read a blog, a mom blogger who I really like. She was saying, you know, I smoke pot every night. All my friends drink wine every night.
Sure.
I smoke pot every night.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want the wine, but I want the pot.
I get it.
And she's like, I'm still a good mom.
Right.
And so the stigma around using weed is, you know, it's still out there. And actually, a mom, when she said this to a mom, another mom in like the playgroup, that mom stopped letting her child come over to their house because of her judgment.
Well, that just seems racist.
And so there was some backlash, you know?
Yeah.
But my feeling, I mean, personal opinion, really. I mean, I'm not the end all and be all on these opinions. My opinion is I probably wouldn't smoke anything around my kids. You know,
no.
I wouldn't smoke cigarettes around them either.
No.
Or a vape pen or weed.
Well,
so,
weed smoke, secondhand smoke is still, even if it's from weed, it's still dangerous for people.
Well, sure. And, you know, but somebody might say, if I'm going to light up and take two hits and put the thing away, I'm not filling the house with smoke.
That's true.
You know, but the idea is you're modeling a behavior.
Right.
Right. That it's okay. So it's pretty hard to say, like, don't smoke.
But how many people drink in front of their kids?
All the time.
Barbecues.
All the time. But I have to say, honestly.
Family gatherings. At dinner.
I don't. Generally.
You don't drink in front of your kids at all?
Not every night at dinner. No, I don't. I don't like to make that sort of a weeknight thing.
I constantly drink in front of my son, and I say, this is because of you.
Yeah. When I say, I'm not like a fucking saint. I do drink in front of my children.
Right, right.
But I guess I don't want to model the behavior of having a drink every night.
Right,
like
right,
that,
right.
That kind of
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, if you're not turning into a, you know, an angry drunk or anything, and it's really right. a non-issue. But, you know, I grew up with an alcoholic. Probably two, really.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm kind of sensitive to the...
Well, I grew up with my parents. My dad's dad was an alcoholic as well.
Okay.
But they would drink with dinner more right. often than not. They'd have a beer or two, but they never drank more than that, at least not that I ever saw.
Right.
Except for those one or two drinks around dinner time or after dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of the same way with
and
my
in
kid.
Europe, you know, if you're like, oh, I don't know, what, 7 years old or something, you can just have wine with dinner. Like, people just have wine with dinner. And,
yeah,
and that's
sure.
like a normal thing.
Yeah.
And I don't really see anything culturally wrong with that.
No.
But if we were all sort of lighting up after dinner, you know,
mm-hmm.
like people were doing before we somehow magically figured out the cigarettes were bad for you.
Right.
That does model the behavior, and it does say that this is okay.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so...
So is the
pot I guess
okay.
It depends on if you want your kids to smoke pot.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I guess.
Well, the thing about pot and alcohol, too, really, is that people aren't, their brains aren't done developing
yeah.
until they're around 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And pot can really screw that up. I
definitely.
Mean, alcohol can
that is
really
absolutely
screw
true.
That up too.
I'm sure that people are paying for research that says it doesn't, but it does.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
just know a few people.
Any kind of chemical.
All you got to do is know a couple potheads.
Right. Well, and I'm not even, you know, I don't think like a teenager experimenting with marijuana once or twice
makes them a pothead.
Is going to make them idiots.
No.
But
no.
It's just like the constant consumption
mm-hmm.
of marijuana, I think,
yeah.
will mess up your brain.
That's actually my bigger concern about weed overall is just that it has a much longer half-life and it stays in your system longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a couple drinks, a couple hours later, you can be pretty good.
Sure.
You know, if you have a couple bong loads, I'm not exactly sure where you're going to be a couple hours later, you know, or if,
yeah.
you, or if you eat an edible or, you know,
well,
anything
yeah,
like that.
This all depends on dosage.
This all depends right. on dosage. And dosage is an issue with
sure.
weed. So
yeah. Can be with booze, too.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Those Belgian ales, a lot more alcohol than in Budweiser.
Take it from Todd. Let's just say if you're having a Bud Light or you're having a Belgian ale,
yeah.
two different evenings.
Funny how the Belgian ale tastes so much better. Weird.
So I think that the answer really is you have to decide. You have to know
mm-hmm.
and own the fact that whatever you're doing and mm-hmm. is modeling for your kids,
right?
You know, and if that's something that you're okay with, you know, depending on their age and all of those things,
yeah.
Then go ahead. I'm not going to tell you not
right.
to.
Well,
but I personally just wouldn't model smoking of any substance just because I'll let somebody else model that for my kids.
Right, right.
Put it for me.
It's such a dicey thing because pot. There's so many ways now to consume THC mm-hmm. that isn't smoking.
Yeah.
And I think that's the dicey thing is because smoking a joint, it looks essentially like smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know that, but the behavior is actually the same visually.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's the thing that I would worry about. I wouldn't smoke. I would not smoke in front of my kid anything.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So you and I, we're in agreement.
But I'm, yeah, totally. Okay. But I'm also, you know, very pro-marijuana.
Sure.
And I think if this woman who would rather smoke pot than drink wine, I think
yeah.
she absolutely should.
I totally agree with you.
And I agree. Yeah. It's like her kind of parenting choice. But for me,
yeah.
it's just that's what it is. It's smoking. And I know that with marijuana, you know, you can duck into the bathroom and use the vape pen or take a little pill or whatever.
Yeah, it's not so hard to kind of do it outside of the kids. Not like you have to sit there and like smoke the thing for 15 minutes. It's
right.
Like, just go do your thing and come back. It's right. Like not really necessary.
I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's like, is that keeping it in the closet? Does that,
not everything is their business.
Well, that's the other
thing. Not everything is your kid's business. It's not a fucking democracy, okay? Right. You're in charge of the household, you know? And these are, like you said, their brains aren't fully developed yet. Their frontal lobe, all their decision making and what they're seeing, and you know, they see, well, you've got a nice house and a nice car and you smoke pot every night, I can do the same. And it's like, no, you might not make it through college should you do that. I mean, I'm not saying that like weed's gonna ruin everybody's lives. I'm just saying if you want a model behavior that's gonna, you know, set them up for the most pleasurable path, or maybe pleasurable path, but you know, with the least obstacles in the way.
Well, and
why add obstacles? Why kill brain cells?
And I know you've mentioned this on other podcasts where we talk about substances and substance abuse and kids and that stuff. And like so much of it is actually talking to your kids. It's not, I mean, there's, you know, modeling good behavior is very important, but it's also important to tell them the realities of this. Well, like stuff that they'll see other adults doing isn't necessarily something that they should be doing,
right?
Because it'll screw up their development.
Yeah,
and it's hard to make a kid understand that.
Sure,
because they don't have the perspective to get like, if you know, I'll stay straight edged until I'm 25 and then I can go.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it's a hard thing to.
And the only thing that you can do, really, from your position, is to add to the side of the equation that models the sort of self-care position.
Right.
You know, that's really all you can do.
Right.
And then you have to leave the conversation open. So,
yeah.
So I think we're done.
Yeah. That was so hard. My mind,
are you okay?
My mind is aching. Is trying to understand that.
Okay. Well, the next one, you don't have to think so hard with this next one. I just wanted to share a story related to the sex toys episode. We're gonna talk about sex.
Sweet.
So yay. So in regard to the sex toy episode, you weren't here for this one. Ella Rose came on and we talked about,
I know, it was very disappointing.
I know, I was really sad that
was
you
that
weren't
when
here.
I was in Hawaii.
Yes. We should have had you like do a side commentary, like overlay or something. I'm really sad that we didn't do that. So we were talking about sex toys and really talking about from the woman's point of view, the sex toys, you know, like little, you know, cock ring vibrators and dildos and things that. And I ended up in a conversation with a woman who was talking to me about her relationship. And it's a relatively new relationship. And she hadn't seen the guy in about a week because of, you know, work out of town kind of stuff. Okay. So they come back together, right?
Sure.
And they're hooking up as
sexually.
and he's a little large. Okay. And so she got a little tired. Okay.
Oh, he's got a big dork.
God, that's an awful word.
Wait, what?
He has a large cock, Todd.
Yeah, a dork is a whale's penis,
so,
and therefore it makes sense to call a big...
Okay, this is not National Geographic. This is self-talk, okay? So let me just go on. So so he's well endowed, and she, you know, got a little tired. So something we didn't talk about was bringing in the man sex toys. And so it was very interesting because he had, you know, like a little... toy for guys, you know, for masturbating, like a sleeve.
Oh, a sleeve. One of those sleeves,
And he was like, well, maybe we can use this together, you know?
Sure.
And
that seems reasonable.
Well, she kind of shut down emotionally, you know? And she was like, I kind of wanted to be a good sport about it, but like all this stuff was happening in my brain. And she's like, I don't know. I just like shut down.
Sure.
My heart went out to her. And so we talked about it, and what we sort of untangled was that the toy, which is the opposite of what we were talking about in the show, of how this can sort of bring intimacy into the relationship because you're sharing different experiences and different things.
Right.
It represented non-intimacy to her.
Okay.
Because it was sort of like, okay, I've been gone for a week, and now you want to use this. I'm here and you want to use this. But she was tired, but she didn't matter. Right. The logic doesn't matter in that moment.
Sure.
You know, it's all about what you're going through internally and, you know, what sort of fear it's triggered. Right. And so, of course, he was, you know, super sweet and kind of like, oh, no, put it away and, you know, I'll never talk about it again, basically. And she was, the other part of her was like, well, I don't want him to feel like he has to do that. I just, you know, I don't know what was going on for me. And so as we sort of untangled it and kind of figured out that it really represented non-intimacy, it represented on some level, whether it was logical or not, a replacement of her, or that she was not the, the desired thing in the moment, and she was able to kind of see how this was, but he wants to continue the playing. He wants to continue the.
It's psychologically, you know, it sounds like introducing a toy in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is sort of akin to if, like, he had a woman waiting in the closet and he's like, well, here, she can take care of me,
yes,
while you hang out, and we'll hang out and it'll be fun.
Maybe not quite that serious,
well, no, but
yes.
I'm just using the analogy because that may be the kind of way it felt.
Yes, that's, you know, how it felt.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Is that he was sort of bringing in a substitute.
Right. And
yes, in some ways, you know, but I think as she was able to kind of look at it as like, okay, he was kind of wanting to, I said, you know, really, that was a little bit vulnerable on his part to kind of even show you that he had this thing,
yeah,
and kind of share that with you and want to experience
it. But maybe
with
he
you.
Should have discussed the concept before springing the physical. That's why I use that analogy of a woman in the closet.
Hey, by the way,
you're springing a
behind
a physical,
door number two,
even though it's an inanimate object that you will animate in a certain way if you're lucky. but to just introduce that in an intimate situation before talking about it, like in a non-intimate situation.
Sort of like, hey, how do you feel about toys?
I can understand how for her that would be jarring. It's like talking about role playing. Like, you don't, like, in the middle of sex say, oh, hey, let's pretend that I'm a kid and I'm in detention and you're the teacher and you have to punish me. Like, out of the blue.
Just out of the blue.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're a crazy person, you know? But if you talk about it before, like, I have this, like, crazy
guys,
fantasy.
Guys, don't suddenly look at your brunette wife and go, oh, let's pretend you're the hot blonde at the massage parlor.
Yeah, don't do that. Talk about it first.
Oh, hey, baby, can you put on this wig? You're like, what?
Why?
Why? You don't like my hair?
I spent hours on my hair. You know, but if you talk about those things beforehand, hey, sweetheart, I have this crazy fantasy. Would you consider role playing? Is it, you know, and then you can figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
or reach some sort of compromise, like, you know, like with sex toys too. I mean, maybe that sex toy is too intimidating, but this sex toy would be ultra.
Well, and we did talk about that. Is, you know, sometimes a sex toy, a dildo, can be intimidating to your partner.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it.
Yeah, yeah.
That can be. It's sort of like, why'd you get that one?
Yeah, exactly. What's up with that?
Why'd you get that color?
That's weird.
Why'd you get that size? Well, wait a minute.
When
did. How much was that?
Those things are expensive.
Those things are expensive, you know. Did that come out of a joint account? So. So point being, good to talk about ahead of time. But but I kind of wanted to address that and share that story because we didn't really discuss the man toys. So,
And there are some men
there
toys
are,
out
and
there.
You know, we can all have our responses at the moment to something like that.
There's a fleshlight.
Fleshlight. Yeah. Fleshlight sleeve.
That seems like a lot of trouble.
Does it?
The fleshlights, they seem like a lot of trouble. I know the sleeve thing you're talking about. That's no big deal.
I'm assuming they're kind of the same thing. Maybe I'm not familiar with the fleshlight.
Fleshlight is like more complicated.
Does it have a light on it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think of like...
it's like OBGYN exam.
Yeah, it's weird looking.
What do you need a light for?
Or like one of those like really expensive lady dolls, lifelike lady dolls.
Wow, those are...
There's like man toys get kind of crazy.
They get kind of core. I know. Some of them... make my heart ache a little bit, because I feel like somebody could kind of just stay lonely if they have too much going on.
Right. Yeah. Like that,
I think that's like, you know, like Ryan, if you've ever Gosling watched, movie. If you ever Ryan Gosling movie.
Yeah, Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, geez.
His love affair with a fake doll.
You need to make me a movie list of all the shit I'm never watching. Okay? Because pretty much I'm never watching a movie with you. Okay? Todd's just got, ugh. Anyway. Well. So, yeah.
Ryan Gosling,
but anyhow,
he's got great abs.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. He might be able to get by the creepy sex doll thing.
All right, speaking of creepy sex talk, we did another show. Another one that you missed.
Why am I missing?
Why are you never here?
No, you always have me, and the shows are never about sex when I'm around. And then when I leave,
maybe you should
what
take
is
that,
going on?
Maybe you should take that personally.
I do.
Okay. Sex Outside the Lines.
Oh, right.
Yes, handsome
Another
doctor.
I was not here for.
Yes, he was here.
I've heard.
That's okay. You would have gotten jealous. I was kind of swooning over him a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What a dick. So.
That's all right. Okay, so... Oh, okay. This is a biggie. I got a question, sort of like a, hey, like, do you think a truly monogamous relationship can't last forever then? Like, what the hell's your point here?
Right.
Because he was talking about how... we're evolving to a more non-monogamous culture, and that he was sort of looking at marriage as like it's about to, you know, implode, basically.
Right.
And so we kind of ended.
Do you agree with that?
No, actually, I don't. But one of my points was with him was that, and I think this is why I got this question, is that I actually think that we are becoming open-minded, the fact that we're becoming more open-minded and people are doing whatever they need to do to ethically work out their monogamy issues or non-monogamy issues, that might actually save the institution of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, that we can sort of enjoy all of that which goes along with marriage and standing up in our community and saying, we are facing life together and this is, we are, you know, we're life partners and this is what we're doing. That you can do that and raise your children like in that that paradigm, and yet handle your sex life in an ethical way.
Sure.
Right. That that doesn't drive you underground or make you a creep.
Sure.
You know. So so to answer the question, can you be totally monogamous? I think you absolutely can be totally monogamous and have a long-term lifetime relationship. I think that my point is more that if my boyfriend comes home from the market and is like, hey, that, you know, 24-year-old checker was checking me out and flirting with me, I want to be happy for him.
Right.
I want to be like, damn right she was, because you're fucking hot. Like,
right.
Get over here. You
right.
know?
Right.
You know,
enough.
And allow him to enjoy that little bit of a dance with another person of male-female attraction or whatever your gender attraction is, and be able to kind of share that with me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
In fact, did you see the movie about the old guys that go to Vegas?
Oh, you mean
you know,
the
more recent one with Michael Douglas and he's married in Robert De Niro and Kevin Klein, who I love.
Right.
Anyway, Kevin Klein has this opportunity. His wife actually is like, gives him a condom, basically.
Oh.
Like at the airport.
Kevin
you know?
Klein's always getting that in the movies.
Well,
in The Big Chill, doesn't he
in
like
the Big Chill.
Sleep with his friend to get
yeah,
her pregnant?
But he doesn't
or
do it. He doesn't do
he
it
can't
this
do
time.
It.
No.
Well, I don't. Could he do
did.
It in The, he did
oh,
in the Big
no,
Chill.
He had a really good time and he's really
right.
happy the next day and, like, you know.
Right.
He, you know, got to do his friend a favor and it was sweet. So but the funniest thing about it I thought was the pink robe thing, but whatever.
Right.
So the point was in this movie she was like, I don't want to know about it, I don't want to hear about it, but like, do whatever makes you happy. I just want you to be happy, you know. And she did it very lovingly. She wasn't a victim about it at all. It was just, but she did specifically say, I don't want to hear about it.
Okay. Right, right.
And so he's got this like smoking hot like 24-year-old who's going, you don't want to fuck me? You know, because they're in a hotel room and suddenly he can't do it because he's just like, I don't want to do this. And he says to her, which is really beautiful and sweet, he says, this would be an amazing thing that happened to me. but I can't share it with the person that I love most.
Right, right.
And it was like, aw, that's so sweet, you know? And so, and there are couples who will have that experience and share it, and they get to sort of like be happy for each other in that situation. But that's not for everybody. So I'm not saying that you have to actually have sex with other people to have a monogamous relationship last forever. I just think that there's an honoring of each other's sexuality and who we are in the world that a lot more of that could take place. I think we could be a lot less afraid of each other's sexuality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I think so many people get threatened when their partner is attracted to other people.
Right.
And is a sexual being outside of their sexual relationship.
Yes.
But everybody is.
Right.
I mean,
that's the thing is that sort of like you get threatened.
Right.
But do you really honestly think that your partner is out in the world never finding anybody else attractive?
Right.
Like then you kind of have,
unless you're in an asexual relationship, which I'm told exists. So
yes, that is another option. That's okay, but that wasn't what the question was about.
No.
So the idea that, see, I think that the more you have to hide your sexuality and your sexual fantasies, your preferences, your thoughts and ideas from each other, the more separate you become, because and you feel less known.
Right.
And it is scary, and you do have to be vulnerable. But like, I really do wish, and just gonna say it, I wish more women were interested in knowing what kind of porn their husbands like. I think if you can come from that place of interest, curiosity, and you can go like, oh, so this is what you like watching. Okay, yeah. What's hot about that? What's hot about her? What do you like about that? Well, would you want me to do that? Would you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that's hot about this? And learn. And let me tell you, when you do that, when you let a man tell you who he is and you love him, man, you talk about, you have a lot less to worry about, frankly.
Yeah, right? That's
I mean,
true.
You will be things are a lot less threatening because now you're privy to it and he feels known and he fucking loves you for it.
Right.
So it's risky and it's scary and you know, we're so messed up about our sexuality in this culture. But I think if we could just be a tiny bit less afraid of our partner's sexuality that
wants,
existed
desires,
you know, their whole energy, their whole sexual energy existed before you were in the picture.
Yep.
And it's not like you get, you know, you get into a relationship and now like that piece of you never gets to,
and the truth
think
is,
another thought
without that sexual energy that existed before you, you probably never
wouldn't
have found each other.
Exactly. You wouldn't be here.
Right.
You wouldn't be together. It's what brought you together.
Right.
So that's what I feel about that. I just feel that, you know, when I sort of joke that you can just say I'm every woman. Like, yeah,
right.
You see all that out there? Great. Bring it all right here.
Right.
And you can be that for each other.
Right.
You know, you can be each other's sort of safe place.
Well, and also I think if you're supportive of your spouse's sexuality just in general, like you mentioned the porn thing, you know, I bet, like, if you're talking about a husband who's watching a lot of porn, he'll watch a lot less of it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
If he knows it's okay. I mean, I think so many people turn to porn because it's not okay and it's something they're not allowed to have. Does that make sense?
Sure, you know, and it almost becomes a little addictive high.
It's an addictive high because they're not supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, if it's okay, it's like, if it's okay, I don't really, I'm going to do something else.
I'm going to go read a book. Yeah. I'm going to go learn something.
I'm going to learn something.
Yeah. So, Todd, do you have any questions?
I don't. I feel like you're
learned.
Yeah, I've learned a lot today.
You're good. You're good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any questions after listening to a show, please email them to me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com. And Todd will send you an autographed 8x10 of his face.
What are we? Wait, what?
Just kidding. We don't have 8x10s anymore.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like,
we live
what?
In a digital world. There's no hard copies.
Tell everybody about You're the Worst on FXX.
It's going to start September 9th on FXX.
Yes.
And you should watch it. Although
awesome.
I won't be on it till the third episode, but you should watch it anyway.
You should watch it anyway.
It's hilarious.
And you can binge watch the first season on Hulu now, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
First 10 episodes, yeah. And I saw the first two episodes at the wrap party. And they're very, very, very funny.
Yeah. Yay, it's very excited. Yeah. I'm so happy for you. Okay, well, you know, little old me, you can like me on Facebook as Sophie Venable. And if you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe because that would make me look cool. My book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I would like to thank the good people here at Sideshow Network. Thank you, Todd, for being here.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you all for listening. And this is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.